We are already on session 17. In chapter 10 of Romans. An awesome book, right? Letter to the Romans. Going through the first chapters of Romans 3 and 4, especially Paul talking about grace, talking about faith, and talking about how it wasn't the works of Abraham, wasn't Abraham's works, is his simply believing what God told him. Amen. And for you and I today, believing that he would simply save us because we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, simply by believing. Does it make sense, does it? To the natural mind, it seems foolish. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. It seems foolish that we would believe in a man 2,000 years ago. Think of this, 2,000 years ago, who walked on the earth, who claimed to be God, died for our sins, and then rose from the dead, and at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. In the natural mind, that sounds crazy. But I believe that, don't you? And so if I believe that, why can't I believe in something as crazy as healing? You've already got off the deep end. You might as well just swim all the way out. You fell in, so you might as well get in the deep end of the pool, right? If you believe a dead man, a man claiming to be God that died, rose again, we might as well just go hook, line, and sinker. Believe that he lives in us. Believe that he's coming again. Believe that he heals us, delivers us, changes us, leads us, guides us. Coming back for us, provides all our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. We might as well believe that as far as the enemy working in our lives, he's a defeated foe. So if you believe these things about just a man raising from the dead, man, let's go all the way out. The world thinks we're crazy anyway. Why should the church care what the world believes anyhow? To bring in psychology into the pulpits and give us 3 points in a poem, as Pastor Lee likes to say, right? Let's learn to cope with life, right? Let's have some mechanisms and things that we can use. And let's use mechanisms like anger management to manage our lives, to somehow get through this world, to, you know, somehow get to the end. But as I've said before, and I love to say, he has not called us to cope. He's called us to conquer. Amen. Not coping, but conquering. Set free, delivered. As I was talking to Kyle earlier before tonight's services, man, he is looking at us and smiling. Isn't that, that is amazing. He's looking upon us with joy. And how is that? How is that? Because of my wonderful behavior? Although my behavior is getting better as time goes on, amen, I'm growing in him, slowly but surely. You know them, don't you? Slowly and surely. But it's all by faith. Absolutely by faith. To the world, faith seems foolish. But to us, it's every bit as real as if Jesus was standing here. Because to each man has been given a measure of faith. Amen? Each person a measure of faith. What would keep faith from producing in our lives is hardness of heart, truthfully. Not believing, simply not believing, allowing the world, allowing Satan to harden our hearts. But as we grow in faith in him, as we trust him, as we dare to believe in his goodness, it starts to soften our hearts. It's actually a law trying to follow the law of Moses that our hearts actually become hardened. How do I know? Because the prophet said, I shall remove from you a stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Amen. A heart of his goodness. A new heart. A new spirit in Jesus Christ. All by faith. It's amazing because you had the disciples, right? First you had Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. Boy, he won't be with you. Do you think in heaven he knows he's known as Doubting Thomas? He gets a bad rap. Because Jesus actually came to all the disciples and it says he rebuked them for their unbelief. As Mary Magdalene ran to them and said, I saw the master. And it said they laughed. Yeah. right. She saw him and believed. Amen. Mary Magdalene. So then obviously it was just simply by their faith. Faith knowing as if Jesus was standing here. This is not even in my notes, but I think about the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that? The rich man and Lazarus? So the rich man was in hell. Lazarus in heaven. There was a gulf where Lazarus was in the arms of Abraham, it says, in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man who didn't believe in God, who didn't trust in God, who just trusted in himself, just trusted in his and what he could do, finds himself separated from God in hell. And he says to Abraham, says, hey, send somebody to send me to talk to my brother so they won't come to this place. And Abraham said, no, that we can't do that. He says, well, send somebody to talk to my brothers. So they won't come here. And it's Abraham said, they need to believe what's written. And he said, no, if you send somebody from the dead, they'll believe. But Abraham said something different or interesting. He says, if they don't believe the law and the prophets, the word of God, they won't believe if somebody appears to them from the dead. How powerful is the word of God? Did you know that through the Spirit of God, the word of God is all we need? Becomes life. It becomes strength. It becomes our direction. Becomes our peace. The word of God becomes something that is inside of it. Becomes alive. It breathes within us. Amen. And the other things he gives us and the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, but all starting from his word. Interesting. He said, if your brothers won't believe what's written in the word, they won't even believe if somebody from the dead comes back to speak to them. That's how powerful the word of God is. Amen? Still changing lives today. I said it's still changing lives today. If we'll look at it through the eyes of grace and the finished cross, it's amazing how it takes on confidence in our lives. It becomes, I can't do this, to I can do all things. It turns from these things I got to push out of the way somehow. I got to get rid of this laundry list of things I can't do. And it becomes a thing of I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Aren't you glad this evening that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us? And those that we're praying for, those who need the Lord, I'm thanking the Lord by faith as I declare it, Lord. These people, my family, these people that I love, they're going to come to you because your word says that me and my household shall be saved. And I'm going to stand on it in faith. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm believing it and declaring it out of my mouth because your word declares it, Father God. Your word gives me confidence. So as I declare what he says, me, my household shall be saved. Amen. If we're needing healing, if we're needing direction, if we're needing peace, if we're needing our emotions to be healed, declare the word over your life. Thank you, Jesus. You go opposite of what your emotions are telling you. Go opposite of what's inside is telling you. And walk by faith. That's how you and I will continue to grow. Walk by faith. Amen. Lord, how we love you. How we love faith. How many people love faith here? Amen. I'm learning to love it. Love it, love it, love it. It's not always a microwave dish. Amen. Faith isn't always a microwave. It's not macaroni cheese, 2 minutes, and we're going to serve it up. Sometimes it works that way, but faith doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's like a big rib roast in an oven at 200 degrees, and it seems like it never gets done. But when it gets done, boy, is it worth it. Some of the things that take the longest are the most worth it. They're the things that are the sweetest. They're the things that bring the most victory in our lives. So we don't give up. We wait on that rib roast in faith. Amen? We wait on it. The 2-minute mac and cheese may satisfy for a second, but it's not all that good. It's not all that delicious. It's not all that's not all that nutritional. But those things that we're waiting on, amen? Abraham waiting seemed like a lifetime for Isaac, amen? Isn't there things in all our lives that we're waiting for, that we're waiting on, we've been praying for? We're saying, Lord, when's that going to happen? When is that going to come about? Do you have things like that in your life? If you gave yourself time, a day to think about it, if you can't think of it right now, there is things in your inner man that you've been waiting on, that you're still praying about, that you're not giving up on, that you're declaring, that you're solid in, that you're steadfast. And even through the years, you think of your life where you've had time where you've failed miserably, maybe, just like Abraham, called an Ishmael. Remember Ishmael? That doesn't sound like faith to me. It sounds like I got tired of waiting. What's our options here? But God still calls him faithful, even in his weaknesses. And I thank God that even in our weaknesses, he still calls us faithful. Amen. He's still got his hand upon us. He's still with us. He's still guiding us. He's still strengthening us. Amen. He knows the struggles. He knows the pains. He knows the sorrows. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. Amen. We thank you for that, Father. Abiding faith in the name of Jesus. Hope. Hope is like an anchor. Are you anchored in hope tonight? Father, we thank you for the anchor of hope. The anchor of hope in Jesus' name. We declare that over our lives in Jesus' name. Anchored in your hope, Father God. Strengthened. Doesn't matter what happened last year, 10 years ago, yesterday. Today is a new day. Amen? If you feel like you haven't been anchored, get anchored. You can always get anchored right now. Simply by saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm anchoring my hope again in some areas. Satan's job, while he's still on this earth running as the God little g, he's just a little g, is for us to give up hope. For us to hear his voice and think it's God. For him to press against us and to somehow think God has given up on us. God has forgotten about us. God's not going to perform it. It didn't work out the way I thought it would. And so Satan get us to kind of give up on our aim. Amen? To kind of drift in the oceans. But even if you've drifted, we've all had times where we've drifted, we can drop that anchor of hope again right now. Right now. Amen? We can drop that anchor of hope. Because the Word of God says that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you remain faithful. Amen. Should give us confidence. Give us confidence. The Lord Jesus wants us to walk in confidence every day, regardless of the struggles. So remember, the struggles that we have right now won't last forever. Satan, if he can get you to think this struggle is going to last forever, it's not true. Amen. It is not true. God's going to get us through it. He's going to strengthen us. He's with us. He's guiding us in the way of peace. Amen. Thank you, Father. Romans chapter 10. Starting out in the New American Standard Bible says, brothers and sisters, mind you, though, that in chapters 9, 10, and 11, Paul really deals with Israel. With Israel, his fellow brothers, Israelites. It says, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church here in Romans. My heart's desire, my prayer to God for them, who's them, the Israelites, is for their salvation. He starts out chapter 9 saying, I would trade my soul. Remember last week? I would trade my salvation that my fellow brethren would be saved. I would be accursed. I would be accursed that my fellow brethren would be saved. Remember his heart, how it was the Jewish people, his fellow Jews were the ones that were bringing him trouble most of the time. They're the ones that were causing him his biggest struggles. Because of their jealousy with Paul, because they were so zealous, we'll read about the law. So they were the ones that were persecuting him the most, but yet he still loved them with an undying love. Amen. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Verse 2, for I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing, verse 3, about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And in verse 4 it says, for Christ is the end. Listen to this verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who what? Believes. For those who have faith. So they had a zeal. Boy, they had a zeal. A zeal, sometimes we'll think somebody has zeal, that must mean, boy, they've got something. But I'm telling you, zeal doesn't mean that you got the answer. Zeal doesn't mean that you're walking in the truth. Because there was many Sadducees and Pharisees that were very zealous for the law, but they are the same ones who hung our Lord and Savior. They had a zeal, but it wasn't for the truth. It was for a lie. So understand, in this day and age, just because somebody has a zeal or zealous, I don't care if you see them on TV, I don't care where you see them, if it's not according to the truth, the gospel of grace and the power of God is a lie, or has some lies mixed in it. The Lord wants us to walk in His zeal, but definitely according to His truth. Amen? For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. Amen. We're not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Aren't you glad that He makes us adequate? Thank you day by day, Father God, that you make us adequate. Amen. I think Colossians 1:12 that says that He is the one that is He's the one that's justified us. He's the one who's made us worthy. Amen. He's the one that's made us in right standing with God. He is the one that's our adequacy. Amen. The world loves their own adequacy. They love their own wisdom. We see it come out in many, many different ways right now. They love their own wisdom. They love their own knowledge. But their own adequacy that has not a bit of standing as far as righteousness, as far as being made right with our God. Amen? He has made us adequate. It'd be amazing if every Christian realized that His blood has made us adequate, what would our lives look like? What would the church look like? But as long as it's an adequacy that comes by our own strength in many people, our own doing, or it could be anything from a certain prayer, it could be had to do with fasting, it could do about church attendance, it could have to do with tithing. Doesn't mean you guys quit tithing, amen? I didn't say that. But anything to put us in right standing or try to make ourselves adequate outside of faith alone is dead works. Absolutely dead works. Anything we would do to say, God, do you feel better about me now when I do this? Or, Lord, I feel like I'm in a deficit, so I'm going to work extra hard for you this week, is dead works. Absolutely dead works. He alone has made us adequate. His Spirit living in us alone gives us the authority to walk in His power, walk in His strength, walk in His supernatural strength. Walk in His ability. Amen. Simply by believing. And as we believe those things that we struggle with, God's going to peel those things off. If His Spirit lives in you, at some point, at some time, you're going to say, I got to get out of this cocoon. I've got to get some wings sprout. I got to move on. If the Creator of the world lives in me, I can't stay stationary forever. Only way you stay stationary forever is you believe lies from the enemy that keeps you in that cocoon, so to speak. They keep us in those chains, so to speak. They keep us in that cell, so to speak. Amen? But when we believe His adequacy for us because of what He accomplished, then we can start coming out of it. Amen. That is awesome. The whole point of the message of grace is that we would have confidence in His love so that we can grow into purpose. Mind you, everybody's born with purpose, regardless of your age. Think of Smith Wigglesworth, who was in his mid-50s before he ever decided to do anything. Stuttered. His wife tried to push him into ministry, and he says, as they talked back then, he said, woman, leave me alone. Leave me alone. He preached one time, and he did a horrible job. Stuttered. Nobody understood him. Boy could hardly talk anyway. But when he finally believed in God living in him, the Holy Spirit, everything changed for him as far as his ministry. Amen. God doesn't qualify them. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. Amen. He doesn't need people strong in the flesh. Amen. The world, you remember trying to think of the prophet Samuel. He told David's father, Jesse, he says, hey, have all your children come join me for a feast, so to speak. And so they had everybody there but David. And soon as Samuel saw his oldest son, he said, this must be him. This must be the guy. Look at him. He's just the way in the flesh, he looked like a leader. But God said, don't, that's not him. I've rejected him. Not rejected him as a person, but what God was looking for. Amen. It wasn't a qualification to what the flesh offered, but the heart of David, right? A man after God's own heart. The spiritual man. Amen. For the letter kills. The old covenant, just going back, a reminder, the old covenant brought death. Romans 7, 9 through 10. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. So the thing that, as Paul was saying, as I read his law, as I looked at it, I said, okay, I know what you want me to do, God, so here I go. I'm going to give my effort. And when you're walking in the law, you don't have the Spirit of God leading and guiding you, you're going to fail miserably because sin is going to come alive in you. So he said, until the law came, I was fine. But when the law was given, I died. I wasn't able to do the requirements because we're all born in sin. Amen? Everybody. Nobody's born squeaky clean. Everybody born in sin. So what it says in Romans 6, though, when the Spirit of God lives in us, Romans 6, 10, 11 says, for the death that he died, Jesus, he died to sin once and for all time, but the life that he lives now, he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So under the law, we were dead. We were dead. Amen. We couldn't fall. We were dead to God. But when Jesus died and rose again, we became alive to him and dead to sin. Sin lives in the mortal body, in your flesh. You will deal with sin until you die. But the Spirit of God in you, as you grow in him, you become dead. You start shedding these things off. You start telling the flesh, I'm not obeying you anymore. I'm growing in him. I'm casting you aside. You're not my master. I'm following him. Doesn't matter how your flesh screams, kicks, says, I want my way. We're going to do what I want. You say, no, we're going to do what the Spirit of God says. We're following him. We're changing. So even when the flesh kicks and screams, does not mean that you have to give in, amen? Doesn't mean it's in charge. You say, nope, you can kick, you can scream, you can throw a fit, but we're going to be led by the Spirit, amen? And finally start saying, okay. As you tell it, you're dead, shut up. I don't hear your voice anymore. Shut up. Satan, I can distinguish your voice now. Those lies you're telling me, I'm not going to believe anymore. You're telling me that they're the voice of God, or I believe they're the voice of God, but I understand that's not the voice of God. It's the voice of the enemy. Amen? Anything that would condemn us, anything that would tell us to give up, that is not the Spirit of God. Jesus will tell you, hey, get back up. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. I got your back. You can make it. Yeah, but I keep stumbling. Well, just keep stumbling. You keep going forward. Don't give up. Times of growth. Amen. A child learning to walk. A child learning to ride a bicycle. A first time on a horse. First time on a Harley. Whatever. But we grow in him. Amen. We grow. Alive unto him. We are dead to sin. And then Romans 8 and 9, just a little reminder. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I am, you're saying, I am. says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How many people here, the Spirit of God dwells in you? Does it feel like it is all the time? No, but it is. It's always there by faith. So he'll never leave us. He lives inside us. It says we're in Ephesians that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. He is our righteousness. Amen? He is our righteousness. Telling that body, you're dead. I'm growing in him. He's teaching me. He's showing me. He's growing me. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Thank you, Father, that you're doing that in our lives. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For Moses writes of the righteousness that is based on the law. Verse 5 of chapter 10. That the person who performs them will live by them. That's a tough route to go. Verse 6. But the righteous based on faith speaks as following. Do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, verse 7, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You know, that is saying I have to see his salvation. I have to see Jesus. I have to see that he was risen from the dead. I have to see it with my eyes. I have to see him come down from heaven with my eyes. So it says, don't say that in your heart. But verse 8 says, but what does it say? Amen. Faith speaks, right? Amen. Well, on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the authority of the believer and what comes out of our mouths, the things that we allow that to declare and speak over our lives and other lives will direct us where we go in our lives always because the Word of God says it will. But what does it say? Verse 8, it says, the Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we are preaching. Amen. 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You know, so your heart, verse 10, so with your heart, your belief results in righteousness. Amen? Did I read the same thing as you, or do I got it wrong? For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You know, I think about when it says our heart, which is our mind, emotions, and our will, amen? Believing in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, resulting in his righteousness, his imputed righteousness to me, as if I never sinned. We've heard it over and over again, as if I never sinned. All my sins washed away, cleansed, squeaky clean. Even the rims are clean. Even the little slots there in the air conditioning vents, they're clean. The engine's been degreased. The undercarriage has been steam cleaned. The upholstery's clean, the carpet's clean, everything. The windshield is squeaky clean. When he cleans us, he means he cleans all of us. We're righteous in him. Now we have the struggle with the flesh, but your spirit, man, is as clean and as pure as it's ever going to be. Simply by faith. Yours by faith. Can you believe that? Simply by faith. For with the heart, in verse 10, so heart, mind, emotions, and will, and then confession. You know, confession, acknowledgement. So when it says confess with your mouth, a confession means acknowledge, preaching, your doctrine. This is what it means in the Greek, giving thanks. So we're confessing. What are we confessing? Preaching, our doctrine. We're confessing what we believe. With our heart, we're made righteous. With our mouth, declaring unto salvation. What are you declaring? Are you declaring his works? Are you declaring his salvation over your life? Salvation. What is salvation? If we're confessing salvation, salvation means what? Well, we're saved from hell. Thank God. I mean, okay, that's all good now. Is that all it means? Many of you know it doesn't. Salvation, just as a reminder, salvation means to deliver, It means in the Greek, health, save, to protect, heal, whole, to do well. So with the heart believing in righteousness, in the mouth with confessing, resulting in salvation. Are you confessing his healing? Are you confessing that you're whole in him? Are you confessing that he'll take care of all your needs according to his riches and his glory? What are you confessing as far as it is salvation? With our heart we believe unto righteousness, but with our mouth we're confessing unto salvation. What does salvation mean to you? Amen? You know by somebody's mouth what salvation means to them. The good thing is when you understand confession and salvation, you choose, you say, hey, even though I feel this way, I'm going to declare otherwise. I'm declaring your wholeness over my life. I'm declaring, Father God, you're providing all my needs, Father God. You're taking care of my family. You're bringing my family in Jesus' name. The enemy doesn't have a hold of me in Jesus' name. That what we confess is what salvation is going to mean to us in our lives. Salvation. You can't tell me that you believe in healing and always talking about how sick you are and how you wish you could be healed and you don't know why God won't heal you and will I ever be healed. That's not the salvation. But if you're saying, Lord, thank you that you're healing me. Thank you, Father, for a whole body. Thank you, Father God, for healing me, Father. In Jesus' name, I'm declaring what you've given me, which is salvation. Amen, Father. With your heart belief. With your heart belief. Amen. Righteousness. Out of your mouth is going to determine what salvation means to you. Amen. As Paul said in Corinthians, we believe, therefore we speak. Father, we thank you for once again speaking the truth of the Word of God. Speaking to those who are lost that they would come to know. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What are we putting in our ears regarding salvation? What are we putting in our ears regarding God turning this country around? What are we putting in our ears regarding God's purpose in our life? In our church, amen? It's got to come out of our mouth. Thank you, Father. With the heart, righteousness. With the mouth, salvation. Father, we thank you for that tonight. Lord, we thank you for salvation. Can we just stop a minute, Father? We thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, we thank you. It says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Father, we thank you for revealing what salvation means in this day and age, Father God, regardless of the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord in Jesus' name. We don't give up. We don't give in. Father God, we speak truth. We speak righteousness. We speak your goodness. We speak salvation in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that, God. As we declare your word, those things taking place in our lives, we're not coming up with things that we just made up. We're declaring what your word means. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Power unto salvation. So we thank you for the salvation that belongs to us. Thank you for salvation that belongs to us. To Jesus, we thank you for it. What area of salvation do you need in your life? Father, thank you as we start declaring your word. Father, we thank you as we don't allow unbelief and doubt out of our mouths, Father God. The enemy goes about seeking whom he may devour. In the spiritual realm, looking for people. Oh, what do I hear there? We can help them go the wrong direction. If we're worshiping and declaring his goodness and his power, the enemy says, let's just keep going. He may press us, but it says if we resist him, he'll flee. How do we resist him? It's coming out of our mouths. How does he stick around talking unbelief, doubt? Thomas said, if I don't see him, if I don't see those nail scars, I won't believe it. Thank you, Father God, that we haven't seen them, as Jesus said, but yet we believe. Thank you for salvation that we believe, Father. Thank you for the expansiveness of what salvation means. Victory over Satan. Authority over Satan. Strength tomorrow morning. Deliverance, Father God. We thank you for salvation. Do you love his salvation? We're not going any further, Father, as we wrap this up. Thank you for your salvation. We believe unto righteousness, but we declare, we speak your salvation in Jesus' name. Father God, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds in Jesus' name. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, amen. And much of that wrestling is through our mouth in Jesus' name. We declare it tonight, Father, we declare it. Do you love him? Amen. Declaring your truths, Father God, declaring your word out of our mouths. Let me read that again. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Amen. Lord, thank you for providing much more than just fire insurance. Lord, show us. Lord, if you can keep us in just, Satan would love to just keep us in this, just trying to keep the fires down, just trying to maintain, where we can't even think about anything else. Hey, right? That's his goal. Lord, help us by faith, even those things that are going on in our lives, to look beyond them. To look beyond them. We're always going to have little fires, little things going on. Amen. That's just the way it is in the world. But Lord, help us to look beyond that. Amen. By faith. Can we stand up as we are dismissed? Father, we thank you. We love you tonight. We thank you, Father, the declaration of your word, confession of your word. Lord, this thing of the word of faith, God, I know we can take it out of context. It can get crazy. As we've heard in this church many times, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Father, we thank you for the word of faith. Father, we thank you for a word of faith. We thank you for the word of faith. We thank you for the word of faith. Lord, we declare the word of faith. Lord, we speak the word of faith. Father God, we speak the word of faith. Lord, we declare the word of faith in Jesus' name, Father God. Out of our mouths, Father God, shall flow rivers of living water in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, Father God. Out of our belly shall flow clean water, God. Not bitterness, not resentment, but clean water by your Spirit, Father. We thank you for that, God. Out of our belly shall